on sandwich.
Where are we holding?
Tough round, we're going?
Yeah.
We are live.
I'll just edit out the...
We are in, with Hashem's help, we're in Masechet Sanhedrin, on Daf Lev, Lamed Bet, Amud Aleph, 32a. We just started the new Gemara, talking about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said the differences, the similarity, similarity started off with one similarity between Dinei Nefeshot and Dinei Mamonot, and then listed 10 differences. So first we're dealing with the similarity. What was the similarity that we said the same in both? Both Dinei Nefeshot and Dinei Mamonot, they both have
inquiry and tongue-tied today.
And the Hebrew is? Do you remember the Hebrew? Drisha and Hakira. Drisha and Hakira. So the Mishnah says they both had Drisha and Hakira. And then the Gemara proceeds to check and see if that actually true. Do they really both? Why? Why should they have Drisha and Hakira in both? And is it true anyway? So the Gemara starts off by suggesting it's not true. Why not? Because we bought yesterday a Braita where we saw that the court allowed a debt document, a loan, to be
postdated, forward dated,
right? To be forward dated. Why?
Namely, if the document was agreed upon in November,
yes,
they would actually write it up. They could write it up in December.
That's what they did. They shouldn't have done, but if they did it,
but if they did it,
it was okay.
What's the word called?
So what happened in this? In our particular case, we only found that out after two witnesses came along to potentially zombify the first set.
Right.
But instead of zombifying them, the court said, you know what? Even though you're contradicting and you're giving valid zomamim testimony, they were with us on that day and date. We don't say that you're zomamim. We say, you know what? They probably post-dated the document. Yeah?
Which is fine. Predating there's a major problem.
Yeah, problem.
Who's trying to protect the agent zomamim? Who's the day?
So what happened? No, so the two witnesses who signed on the document itself, who signed on a false date, right? So they go to court with the document that's signed on a false date, and then two witnesses came and said that must be a false document because these two guys were with us in a different place. It says where it was signed. It said this on the 1st of January, a loan was given in Jerusalem from A to B, signed by Moshe and Reuben. Two witnesses come along and say, Moshe and Reuben were in Sfat on that day with us. They couldn't have signed the document on the 1st of January in Yerushalayim. Right? So it sounds like Zomimim testimony. Right? That they were with us on that date. They couldn't have been there. Falsely.
And they signed it on a different date.
So that's what the court said. So there's two options. Either they're lying and they just made up this loan, in which case they're true Zomamim witnesses and we should do to them what they did to him. True Zomamim witnesses. Or the court takes the other view, which is the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that they don't go that way. The Chiddush is that the court says, you know what? You're right. They could be falsifying documents and lying, but we're not going to say that. We're going to say that actually there really was a loan, but they just dated it forward. And you're right. On the 1st of January, when they said they signed it, they were in Sfat. But when the loan took place, really, which was a few months before, they were there at the right time with the people. You're right, you were there on the right, because that's because they dated it on the wrong date. They forward dated it.
Well, I have a question. Do you know
and the only reason, the court can come to such a conclusion, to not go with Zomamim, and to say maybe, must be that you wanted to prostrate it is because we didn't, because we never did the drisha. Because if I did drisha and I said to him specifically, where were you, what date, what, then I can, I'm going to zombify him on the basis of lying in court. But no one checked directly one-on-one with the witness. Where were you? When did you sign it? What was the day? Etc., etc. There was no drisha of the witnesses. We just took the document and said, okay, here's the document. You sign it? Yeah, that's my signature. It's off. Right, we didn't do drisha on them. And that's why we got to this situation where when they got zombified, we can give them the benefit of the doubt. And that's why the brightest, that's why the Gemara says you can see from here it must be that they didn't do drisha, which then is a kasha on our Mishnah. So our Mishnah says you do drisha and chakir in both.
Wouldn't the judges be asking the main parties, namely the debtor and the creditor, whether there was actually a loan?
Yeah, they said, he's saying it's a loan, but they just didn't check out the date and the time and the place of the loan.
But if both parties say there's a loan.
No, both parties, well, we don't know what the other guy's saying. The other guy is clearly saying something different. Either there was a loan, but I paid it back, or there wasn't a loan. Or, but he's saying something different, otherwise he wouldn't have a claim.
So he's saying either there's not a loan, and his document's forged, or the document's real, but he paid it back.
Yeah, because the truth is, according to this scenario, the truth is the document was real. We're not arguing about the right status of the document. Like, we're saying it was real, it just signed a different time. So the other side is probably not arguing it's a forgery. If he was arguing it's a forgery, then it seems to me that the Beit Din would probably do Drisha and Chakira to make sure. But if there's not a claim, there's a forgery. So you have no reason to suspect it. So according to this understanding of how the procedure works, we don't do Hakira and Drisha and do all that stuff. We just go forward in case you have a claim, you have, yeah, you have witnesses, yeah.
Is there a possibility that that the judges would just look at a document and simply say, this is fishy?
Yes, if they have reason to suspect, then yes, the brings it one of the footnotes.
Yeah, they've seen more than one document.
He brings over here in one of the footnotes. Can't remember where, but one of the footnotes it says if the court has reason to suspect that there's a forgery, for example, if this witness or this plaintiff has been involved in a forgery before. Right. So if you've been involved in a forgery before, so we now suspect this one as well. So if there's reason to suspect, then that would be different. But just on the basic chat of how you would have such a case, so that would be such a case. But because you can see there could be such a case where this happens, then that would go against the Mishnah. So now we've got a problem. How can it go against the Mishnah?
Right.
So we'll have to answer that. But okay, so that was the Mishnah. That was the brightest story we saw yesterday. So then, before answering that kasha, the Gemara adds an additional kasha, which also from a Mishnah. I mean, it says where are we? So this is Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. Ulatamech. Ulatamech.
I'm sorry, where are you?
We are on the top of 32A3.
Top.
Which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom of the page, three words in. Ulatamech.
Okay.
Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. Yeah.
Okay,
Ulatamech. And according to your reasoning, right, if you want to say, what's it mean, your reasoning? Your shita, you're trying to challenge the Mishnah along these lines. Right, if that's true, then you've also got another problem from a Mishnah. What's he saying? This is a bigger kasha. It's okay to have a brighter that's different. Right, a brighter can challenge a Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah overrides the brighter, that's fair enough. Right, but to have another Mishnah that goes against the Mishnah, so it doesn't work. But if you're going along that line, then you'll find another Mishnah that also would go along that same thought process. What's the Mishnah? So the Mishnah says like this, L'tameh tikshe lach matnitin. We've also got a kasha from a Mishnah. Shitrei chov hamukdamin pasulim hamukhalim kasherim. Right? We saw this at the end of yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? The ones that are backdated are pasul. But if they're forward dated, then they are kosher. So again, why is this the same? What's the same reasoning here? How does this a kasha on our Mishnah? our Mishnah doesn't talk about post-dating documents and forward-dating documents. How is this relevant to our Mishnah?
So predated document.
What is?
Is invalid.
Now there's a brighter that we just learned, but why is this a kasha against our Mishnah? What did our Mishnah say? What bit of the Mishnah are we looking at? We said that our Mishnah holds that monetary cases have drisha and chakira.
Right.
So that's the bit that we're trying to challenge. Okay? So how does this Mishnah challenge that idea? What is there in this Mishnah that challenges that idea?
Dating.
Okay, go explain.
Because they're assuming that there's someone looking at the dates.
Who's they?
The Beis Din.
The Beis Din in the case of what?
In the case of dating of the loan versus the actual loan.
Yes.
But if they didn't question the witnesses, they yes. wouldn't know this.
Therefore,
they didn't question the witnesses. They just simply looked at the document.
And therefore, that challenges our Mishnah because?
Because it's saying that you do question the witnesses. Not only the basics, what's it called?
Drisha.
But also in the details.
Well, it's only Drisha. Drisha is the only one we're relevant here. Everybody agrees you do Chakira.
Chakira is what?
Chakira, the details of this case. The Drisha is the time and place.
Right.
The Drisha is a bit that we want to, is that we're...
So everyone's agreeing that we do the... What did you say was...
Chakira.
Chakira, the question.
Yeah, because that's just basic questioning about this case. Rabbi Abraham, you got that point? Okay, so what I'm saying, we're saying like this. Yeah. Well, where are you holding?
What?
Where are you in your?
I think you're doing Rashi.
No, I was just trying.
So our Mishnah says. That even in monetary cases, they do they investigate, but that doesn't fit the kasha with this Mishnah. Why? Because this new Mishnah we're now learning says that backdating is pasul, but forward dating is allowed. How can you have forward dating allowed? Along the same reasoning. It's not, he's saying that you only had the case of forward dating where it comes out later that it was forward dated. Meaning there was no meaning that this case of the Mishnah is really the same case as the Braita that we just learned. The Braita that we just learned where the date was wrong. And it was post-dated, and it came out because two witnesses came along and said, you were with us, so it couldn't be. So this Mishnah is going along the same shita, that the same thing is true. It's explaining when that happens and you post-date, and it turns out that it was false but post-dated, so it's okay. But when it turns out it was false and it was backdated, it's not okay. How does it turn out it was false? Only in the same situation where two witnesses later came along and contradicted and said, look, it's a false document, they were with us on that date. So it's going along the same lines as the first writer that we just learned, which means that there was no Drisha and Chakira going on, because otherwise this would have been spotted.
But the reason they would normally accept that is because they don't want to dry up the loan market.
Okay, we're going to come to the reasoning. Morning, Rabbi Yosef.
Morning.
Okay, Tov. So the Gemara says, Gemara gives us the rule. The Mishnah gives us the rule. So the rule is, backdated documents are not okay. Post-dated, forward-dated is okay. And if you would have thought that Drisha and Hakira is required, right? Like our Mishnah Sanhedrin says. Why would forward dated documents be valid? Right? You would throw them out at the Drisha stage. You'll bring the witnesses in, say, when did the loan take place? And they will say, well, it actually took place back in November. And the judge will look down at the piece of paper in front of him and say, well, this says January, get out of here. You wouldn't have a case of allowing this to be kosher. Because as soon as you did Jerusha, you would see that this is something wrong here. Forget it, right? Who says that you can, right? So, but only, how could you have this case? Only, like we said, that we didn't do that. We relied on the documents being good. And then we get later on, when it got contradicted, we gave them benefit of the doubt and said, you know what, it's still kosher. We explained it away by the fact that they were allowed to forward date it. They did forward date it. It didn't actually take place on that day.
It doesn't matter whether it's back or forward.
No, so it does matter.
It does matter.
We say in this Mishnah, the Mishnah says by the forward is okay, but backwards is not.
Backwards is, what do they call it, predating.
Okay, so the Gemara now comes to answer our kasha. It's really only one kasha, although it's two sources. But it's two sources saying the same thing. Right, well, the Braita specifically sets it out. Two witnesses came, they contradicted. And then we've got the Mishnah, which is just a short form saying back is no good, but forward is good. So the Gemara answers, halo kasha, it's not a problem. First of all, the Gemara answers a supplementary question, which is, why did you bring me a Mishnah? Why did you bring me a Braita to contradict? If you had a Mishnah that contradicts. If you're going to bring a problem with our Mishnah in Sanhedrin, if you had two sources, so just bring the main one, the Mishnah, is a much better source to bring a Kasha against than the Braita. So the Gemara answers that by saying, halo Kasha, the Adifa Minar Ka'aminan, it's preferable, Adif. It's preferable, Mina, from here, Ka'aminan, that we ask. It's preferable to ask from the Braita. Right. Why? The Afilo Achad Benisan Bishmita, because the Braita tells us a chidush that's not in the Mishnah. What's the chidush of the Braita? So this is where we come back to the fact that the Braita said it was on the first of Nisan in the year of Shemitah. And when we spoke about it, I said that's an irrelevant fact. Right? It could be any time. You're learning a law here about forward dating documents. Why do we care if it's in Shemitah? So now the Gemara tells us why we care if it's in Shemitah. Because this is now a chidush. The Afilu, even Achad B'Nisan B'Shemitah, even if it was forward dated to the first of Nisan in Shemitah, the Lo Shechichei Anshei De Mezofei, because we don't find that people lend money, right, in Shemitah. Shemitah year, it's not usual to lend money because you're about to lose your loan, right? Unless you do a prosbul, but generally speaking, the Leke Lemeimar Shema Echauhu Vakatvuhu, when it's therefore perhaps not possible to say that somebody postponed the forward dated it. Why? You're right, people don't usually lend, so why would I not therefore believe him if he said it was forward dated? Because people generally wouldn't do that. Generally wouldn't do that. If the loan actually took place back in prior to Shemitah, why would I want to forward date it into the Shemitah year when it's about to get wiped off? Right? So I might say that in this case, although in a normal case, I would accept the possibility that it could have been forward dated. Right, remember, the court has two options. Maybe this is a forgery, or maybe it's forward dated. So let's say it's been forward dated. Okay, you give the benefit of the doubt. But in the case where it's been forward dated into a Shemitah year, no one would do that. So it's that suggestion. Maybe people wouldn't do that because no one would give a loan in a Shemitah year or forward date it into a Shemitah year because there wouldn't be any time to collect it.
Why did he choose Nisan?
Yeah, so it's a good question. Why he chose Nisan? Why not? Yeah, but why not choose, the question is, why not choose the beginning of Shemitah? Because otherwise, you have to say it was already in Shemitah year, and you just forward dated it a couple of months, so then you're not, from half the Shemitah year to the next bit of the Shemitah year, it's not, there's not, there's chiddush. So you have to say it was before the Shemitah year, and he post-dated it into the Shemitah year.
Well, you well,
but why post-date? We don't know.
Months.
You're right, but why did he post-date? So we still don't know why he would post-date it anyway that far forward into the Shemitah year.
There's a reference.
Okay. That's what they do in Israel. When they say,
yeah,
it used to be that way. With the government, you could post-date your checks, and you'd get paid, but no, the government only paid them after a year or something like that.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. It's not the loan itself. The loan we don't really have a good explanation, a good example of why someone would forward date a document. I don't know, it doesn't say here why someone would do that, but a loan document anyway, right? If they wanted to give money, yeah, but to actually to have a loan, and then did it have in the footnote? Did you read anything there, Rabbi Yaakov?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
would a person bother forward dating? What use does that help anyone? Let's have a look. Maybe here it's just that they here could be that just that they delayed it, meaning at the time that the loan took place, they didn't have a sofer. It's not they didn't write. You need to have someone who can write these documents. So there was no one available. So you know what? We'll do it later. And then when they came to do it, so that it actually turned out that it was forward dated, even though the loan didn't take place on that date, right? But so they write it on the date that you just write it today's date. Fine, we'll sign it now. Not realizing why it wasn't done as a forgery, it wasn't done to cheat anyone. It was done, but that's okay. The fact that you did that is still fine. We're learning that just forward dating is okay. So there was a delay. That's probably the easiest understanding. There was a delay for no particular reason, except we couldn't get.
It wasn't forward dated.
That's the date was signed. The date was Nahan. But it's not the date the loan was paid.
Early.
Yeah. So that's the forward dating
that's
of the document.
For sure.
That's the forward dating, which is why when they say how would they be glamified on that date, you're right, because they were with you on that date. They date the loan that the loan took place where it took place. They write in the document in the house of Shmuel on so-and-so street in Yerushalayim the loan took place, but he actually just writes today's date on it,
and they saw it,
and that they were there and they saw it. But actually, on that date, when you signed the document, you're right, you were with us in Yerushalayim. Well, that's because we went to Yerushalayim to get the document done. So they stamped it in Jerusalem. So it's a bit complicated.
Does Rashi see anything?
Not really. That's going to help much more. Okay, Tov, Rav Elazar, Chanukah Sameach, Efa Sameach, Efa Hiyuch.
Right.
I have to come and dance with you if you're not careful. So. I was going to say you should go to the Shacharit of Avarish downstairs if you want to dance for a bit. It's probably still going. Hello. I left after an hour, I guess. So the first hour of dancing was enough. After that, they were still only halfway through. Halal. So,
Rav Arash
was
still here.
Yeah, he was here this morning. Still dancing after an hour. They're only halfway through halal. I had to get up. Okay. Top. Anyway, so what are we saying?
What time do they dawn?
Nets.
Which is?
Nets itself is 6:30, but it starts davening at 5:45.
Quarter to six. Okay.
12. They finish about 9. It's a long day. 12. So what do we said? So we said, so the Gemara first answering the question that we didn't know, like the hidden question, which was, well, why did you pick a brighter if you had a Mishnah? Answer, because the brighter is preferable, because the brighter tells us a chiddush. Even forward dating into Shemitah, which is an even bigger chiddush, we also allow that. We also give you the benefit and the doubt. But even that, which is not common to do, people will usually forward date into Shemitah. Won't give you a lot of time to collect. Even then, or maybe you could say the other way, in terms of our example, people wouldn't usually delay it. If you know Shemitah's coming up, you write the document, get it done, get it stamped, so that you could go and get it go and get it paid out. If you wait until the first of Nisan, and you've only got 6 months left, and now you're getting it signed, so you're leaving it pretty late to get it paid back and then get it in front of the court before it gets white. Right. So, because even though that's not common, you would have forgotten Shemitah. Everybody knows Shemitah. Right? You wouldn't have forgotten and left it that long. Shemitah's so coming, get your document done, get your...
You're talking about worst case scenario.
No, we're talking about whether they're believable.
But I mean, even if you're believable, it's worst case scenario.
Yeah, but it goes on the believer.
You're talking about something that, okay, everything went wrong.
Not everything, but we're talking about how much do I believe the witnesses, right? The duty of a judge is to weigh up, to give the correct answer. The judge has to know when is a witness believable and when not. He has to take in the factors of the case into account and look at reality of the situation. This is also based on reality of the situation. You've got Shemitah. How do people act? Right? Shechichei inshei, this concept that we're learning now, Shechichei inshei, is throughout the Gemara. The Gemara goes, makes rules, makes chokim, laws of Torah, halakha, based on Shechichei inshei, what people do. We find that people don't do that, therefore we're not making a law. We don't find that people do that all the time. Hanukkah, regel min hashuk. Right? Shetichlar regel min hashuk. How long your Hanukkah candles need to be alight. La halakha, la fi halakha. Until people are no longer in the street. So we go according to situation on the ground. Used to be that Tichlar regel min hashuk was 5:30 in the old days. Right? Half an hour after it got dark. People left, gone home. No electricity. They're done. Right? That's all the time you had to light the Hanukkah candles. Now, Baruch Hashem, you've got until 2, 3 in the morning. People are still out there.
Right? No, unless you're in the...
depends which shuk. Right? but you see that halakha goes l'fi shechichei inshei, what people do. You have to know that if you're a judge, what people do in order to I can believe it. That's what people do? Yeah, people do that. That's not what people do? No, that's not what people do over here. And according to Makom as well, the law might change. So, that answers our first question, why we chose the brighter. Tov. Delekele meimah shemai, right, because we said that maybe people wouldn't leave it late and then write it. Delomara l'shtala. In order not to make the document bad, right, to undermine the document. Afilu hachi, even here, nonetheless, kevade b'shviit sofa mashmetet, since the fact that it's the end of shviit, which is what causes the loan to be cancelled, mashiran, we allow it, we say it's kosher. Because he's still got until the end of Shemitah year, he's still got 6 months, although he postdated it into the Shemitah year, we're not saying it's invalid. It's not a case. Because what might we have thought? Without this last bit, we might have thought that the loan took place prior to Shemitah, and he's now collecting it in Shemitah now, so we wouldn't even have the question. You can't come and collect it in Shemitah, because Shemitah would cancel it. Depends when he asks for it. Shemitah would cancel it. I don't know how it works.
No, you Shemitah, just said at the end of Shemitah.
Yeah, but what if I make a claim? If I'm in the middle of a court case, the guy's not paying up, does Shemitah still cancel that loan? No, I think now it's in the hands of the Beit Din. Don't know. Does Shemitah still cancel the loan?
It only cancels it at the end of the Shemitah year.
Yeah, but then you're right. But if it didn't cancel, why do you need to tell me this? Because because already it's obvious that if it's forward dated into the middle of Shemitah year, then we wouldn't even have a claim. If you don't tell, it must be that, otherwise we wouldn't even be talking about it. You couldn't have the case of someone forward dating it into the middle of Shemitah year and then going to the court. So why tell me at the end? Because don't worry, we rely on the fact that it just seems obvious. Maybe it is obvious. Maybe that's what it's coming to tell me. It just seems a bit too obvious. Because what, you wouldn't even have this case.
If people wouldn't normally post-date it to Shemitah year.
But why, he says here, he said, but his whole reasoning here is the fact that we trust him, even though this is not something people would do, we still allow it, because why wouldn't people do it? Because it undermines the validity of the document. but we allow it to be kosher because the loan's not cancelled until the end of 3 years. That wouldn't be the reasoning of the Gemara. Gemara would say the document is invalid because we're already in Shemitah year, but don't worry, we don't hold until the end of Shemitah. Right, like you said.
People normally wouldn't do it. Right?
No, but why wouldn't they do it if it was because the loan got cancelled at the beginning of Shemitah?
At the end of Shemitah.
Nahon, but if it was.
Because you might.
You wouldn't even have that idea. So for the Gemara to tell me that, it means it was a kilu achidush at the end. By the way, you should know that the loan's not cancelled. It's obvious that the loan wasn't cancelled, otherwise we wouldn't even be talking about it. Why tell me at the end of this Gemara? Because you should know, by the way, you should know it's not cancelled till the end. It must be that it wasn't cancelled to the end. Why are you coming to tell me that obvious piece of information? We've been talking about the fact that he's in court in the middle of Shemitah year, close to getting loaned. You're saying, and by the way, you should know it's okay because the loan is not cancelled.
But people wouldn't make that assumption. They would first think Shemitah year, all the loans would be cancelled. They wouldn't remember the detail. So they'd be freaking out.
I don't know, maybe it's not such a big point.
Even good if it went into the Shemitah year.
Yes. Why? But why is it even good?
Because people wouldn't normally.
Because all people wouldn't normally do that, but we accept it anyway on the basis that that's probably what they did do.
Right.
And then it tells you at the end, because by the way, you should know that the loan's not cancelled until the end of Shemitah year. But why do you say that at the end? Because if that was a problem, we wouldn't even have this scenario that he postdated into the middle of Shemitah year.
That's the reason. Since he posted it in the middle of Shemitah, it's inconsequential whether he does or he doesn't. The book alone is still good because it doesn't cancel until the end of Shemitah.
Nahon. So maybe that, okay, could be as simple as that then. Maybe I'm trying to look too deep.
The reason is that he's saying, don't think that by postdating it into Shemitah you're cancelling out the loan. The loan's not cancelled until the end of Shemitah.
Saying that everyone knows that, so why put it in?
No,
and I'm saying not everyone would know that.
Mahlokas, actually.
Nahon, you're right. So maybe that's a better answer. According to the way that why bring it here? Because there's a math rocket. It's not obvious.
He's holding, right?
Because that's why he's holding it.
Right, that's why he's holding it. Say outside of the Gemara and Halacha, Sfardim hold that the loan gets cancelled at the beginning of Shemitah. That's
Sfardim
hold in the Shita of that it gets cancelled at the end of Shemitah. It's the only reason why I know that it's a Mahlokas.
Nahon. Okay, right. We got a Braita that says specifically that a loan was forward dated into the middle of Shemitah year, and it was told to be kosher.
So he's holding that Braita,
you can.
Right.
Yofi. Top. Very good, thank you, Rav C. Okay.
Very well.
Should come more often at this time. Yofi. Mikoma Komkashya. Nonetheless, we still have a problem. Right? We've got our original problem that wasn't solved. Our original problem is that it seems to go against our Mishnah Sanhedrin. Right? Our Mishnah says that we do Drisha and Hakira. But how can that be? Because if we did Drisha and Hakira, we would never have. We would never run into these problems with poor dated documents. So how do we resolve that problem? So we resolve it by looking at a few different answers from Amorayim with a Siman. What's a Siman? Harpash. Stands for Rav Hanina, Rava, Rav Papa, and Rav Ashi. Ashi doesn't get an Aleph, he gets a Shin. But all the rest get their, right? Harpash. Tom, you can catch up still, come.
Thank you.
We're only in preparation.
Only 30 pages in.
Stop. We've got another couple of years till we finish, so you've got plenty of time to catch up. Yofi. Amar Rav Hanina. So Rav Hanina has an answer to our difficulty. What's his answer? He says like this. Dvar Torah had dinei mamanot v'achad dinei nefeshot. Drishot v'chakira. Right? Dvar Torah. Here, Dvar Torah means the writer. It's another way of saying the writer. Dvar Torah. From the Torah, you're right. according to Torah, our Mishnah is correct. There is, in both military cases and capital crimes, in both you have Drisha and Chakira. Our Mishnah is correct according to Deraita, Shinet and Meir. How do I know? Because the Torah says so. Why does the Torah say? Well, the Mishnah says the same pasuk, Mishpat Achad Yelachem. The Torah says you've got to have the same rules, Mishpat Achad Yelachem. So therefore, Deraita, there should be the same rules. So why does our Deraita not go like Torah? Why does it veer off and change the Deraita law? So the Gemara says, Umatam amru de'mimamanot lo ba'inan drisha v'chakira. And what's the reason that they said, meaning the rabbis decided, you know what, we're going to ignore that, and we're going to say that monetary cases don't need drisha and chakira? Answer, k'deshalotin ol delet bifnei lovin. Right, the same, we learned that at the beginning of the perek, the first perek, that in order that we don't lock the door in the face of borrowers. What does that mean?
No one wants a loan.
What does that mean? What does it mean to lock the door in the face of borrowers? And why would this ruling lock the door in the face of borrowers?
If it's going to be a pain in the neck trying to collect more than it is, even more so, no one wants to lend.
Hey, borrowers.
No one wants to lend to the borrowers. So literally they're, you know, he knocks on the door, they open it, you know, and then they slam the door in his face.
Ah, your face. Correct. That's very nice. That's what means to lock the door in the face of borrowers. Borrowers we're doing it for the borrowers, not for the lenders, right? We don't need to assist the lenders. We need to assist those who need money. Right? That's the general, right? How do we assist those who need money? By making it easy easy, so to speak, for lenders to lend them money. But if a lender has to go to court and has to go through Drisha and Chakira in order to get his money back, then it's not so easy. What does the lender want to do? A lender wants to produce his document, his shtar, and say, here's the document, he hasn't paid, can I have my money back? And the court says, yeah, it looks good to me, pay him up. That's what a lender wants to do. A lender doesn't want to have to go into court and say, here's my document, okay, now prove it. Where were you? What date? What place? What time? When did it take place? This is correct. Are you sure? Right? And to go through, he's like, oh, who's ever going to get the money back? Then the court's never going to believe me. So because of that, we, here's a good word, abrogate biblical law. Did I know that? Don't know what it means. I read it somewhere. We override the right to law by the rabbis. How can, now question, next question, how can the rabbis do such a thing? The Torah override, Mevatel deraita law for the rabbis to say, you know what, the Torah says you need to do Drisha and Chakira, one law for this and one law for that, Mishpat Echad lo kol echad. And I say, you know what, thank you very much, Torah, I'm deciding we're not going to do that. How can the rabbis do such a thing?
Simple, because they're getting that right. Just like creating Purim and Hanukkah.
No. That's adding. We're not saying, you know what, there's a law in the Torah that says you're not allowed to do this, and I'm going to say, well, I am allowed. Or there's a law in the Torah that says that you have to do this, and I'm going to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it.
Times change.
Nope.
That's not it.
Any suggestion how the rabbis are allowed to go against Torah law, which says that you need to do Drisha and Chakira in monetary cases? Now, so the reason given is like this. This is a special case. The rabbis have extra judicial authority in the case of monetary law. In the case of monetary law, why? Because rabbis can have the ability to declare hefka, beit din hefka. There's a rule, hefka, beit din hefka. A beit din, rabbis can declare, even though it belongs to you, that's a very nice bag you've got over there. If I've got the beit din, I can declare hefka and decide to take it and give it to Elazar over here, if you want it. Right? They can do that. Why? Because beit din is allowed to do that. It's allowed to move money around. It's got beit din. Property. I'm not sure by land, but maybe even land.
Is that anything to do with like hills, principle, things like that?
that also why he was able to do that?
No, that's a different
money
reason.
Wise.
No, money wise would allow. No,
why money wise?
Why money wise? Why? Where do we get Hefka Beit Din Hefka from?
Money is so worldly. How could the
a good question.
Really
source of come across the beginning. But they say
so meaning that there is a certain time concept or change.
True.
Nahon.
In certain areas, yeah.
They didn't have planes then, so an aide can get from Jerusalem to the United States in a day, mm-hmm. in a half a day, we consider that it's not too far for a person to get.
Right.
But that's a great time.
Okay, so I don't know, it's a good question. The Rosh Hashanah will try and find the source of that, why the rabbi can say, but the rabbis do this. Hefka Beit Din Hefka. So here, when the fact that they're ignoring this rule is based on the fact that they're allowed to decide monetary laws in terms of who pays when, who and what, and on what basis. Okay, so that's the reason of Rav Chanina as to why we've got a difference between our Mishnah and Braita. The Mishnah says the position under Braita, Torah law, which is that you have to do Drishan Chakira, and the Braita is telling us what the rabbis do in practice, for that you do have this situation where they don't question them. They don't do Drishan Chakira because they're allowed not to. But the Gemara on the bottom of the page says Elamiata. But now, if you follow that, if you go with what Rabbi Chanina says, Elamiata, Ta'u loy shalmu over the page. Ta'u loy shalmu. If they made a mistake, To'eh. Loy shalmu, then they shouldn't have to pay. Meaning what? If we say that the judge is allowed by Lefi Torah, Lefi Halakha, he's allowed to ignore the Jewish and the Chakira, then it would turn out, according to that same logic, that they shouldn't have to pay if they made a mistake, because they didn't get all the facts. But why didn't they get all the facts? They didn't get all the facts because they were doing it for the benefit of the loan market. And therefore, if they made a mistake, they shouldn't have to pay up, because it's not really their error. And then, if that's true, then the Gemara says, "Koshechen shetinol delet b'fnei lavin." Then all the more so you would be locking the door in the face of lenders. Why would that lock the door in the face of lenders? Because lenders wouldn't want to come and lend money, meaning they wouldn't want to go to court to try and get it back, if they know that the judge is not going to pay up if he makes a mistake. You can go to court, but the judge is he's going to do whatever he's going to do. He's not even going to care about making a mistake. So according to that reasoning, it suggests that Rav Chanina's answer is not a good answer. Right? We now move on to Rabbah has a different answer. So Gemara doesn't say really whether or not we reject it, but it brings an argument that maybe Rav Chanina's answer is not so good, because you could argue it both ways on locking the door in front of lenders. Right, that would also potentially lock the door if you did the same thing. Rava says a different explanation between the two proofs. Why one says you do, one says you don't. Matnitim in our Mishnah, right here in Sanhedrin, Tachach abidine kenasot, v'idach v'odat v'hovaot. So another way of explaining the difference is to say that our Mishnah is dealing with dine kenasot. What's dine kenasot? Fines. Fines, penalties. In the case of fines and penalties, we do Drishan Chakira, right? Because it's fines and penalties, right? We don't want to give such draconian measures unless we're very careful with our questioning to make sure it's correct. But in Dine Mamanot, tov. So we're less, right, we're less concerned to be so careful. And we can rely, again, rather on the same reason that we would discount it because of the loan market. In order to assist the loan market.
But then again, you come back to the same question. If the lenders are out of their money and they feel that the judge has made an error.
Yeah, fair. Okay.
Then they're not going to lend again. And going back to that, the door would be closed in the face of the borrower.
Yes, very good. The same argument that was made against Rav Hanina could be made against Rava. Well spotted. I don't have an answer for that, but it could certainly, it seems like you'd make the same argument against Rava.
Did Rashi say anything?
Not to explain why it's a different argument. He does. Rava ma, talvehu batar takanta to Rabbanan. Both of them follow a decree of Rabbanan. The magnesium, the dinei kanasot. Our mission is talking about dinei kanasot. The leka lemechash, then in that delet. That in that case, we don't have the concern about locking the door. Why in dinei kanasot? Why? Because there's no market. We're not talking about the lending market in dinei kanasot. So we're not worried about the lending market, right? Therefore, we should do it. In the case of loans, etc., where there is a concern for locking the door, in those cases there is the so he doesn't explain your kusha, but he explains the basic of Rava's difference between the two. Right? We are concerned about Nilat Delet, but not in the case of Dina Kinasot. Rav Papa, what does Rav Papa say? Edi the Edi Hodot Bahaba. Both of them, says Rav Papa, are talking about the case of the loan market. Both the Mishnah and the right, so what's the difference? Kan b'din merumah, but kan b'din she'eino merumah. One case is a claim of fraud, and the other one is not a case of fraud. In our Mishnah is talking about where you have a claim of fraud, where one party comes along and says, this is a fraudulent document. In that case, we do drishin chakira, because we need to see if it's true, it's a fraud or not. But where they don't bring a claim of fraud, so we don't bother with drishin chakira, because we don't want to foil the loan market, right? But we would do in the case of question of fraud, and that's what our mission is talking about. So that is the explanation of Rav Papa. Kedureish Lakish, that goes like Reish Lakish. Kedureish Lakish Ramei. Kedureish Lakish contrasted two pasukim. One pasuk which says, "Ktiv, but Sedek Tishpot Amitecha." One pasuk it says, "But Sedek with justice, you should judge your people." Ukatim, it says in a different pasuk, Sedek, Sedek, Tildok, two Sedeks. Why in one pasuk, this is Reish Lakish's question, why in one pasuk it says Sedek, and the other one it says Sedek, Sedek, double Lashon. Hakeh, and how is it the case? Kan b'din rumeh, but kan b'din she'enom rumeh. Reish Lakish explained this by saying, what is the case of a fraud case, and what is the case of a not fraud case? In a not fraud case, you only have one Sedek, so you don't need to be so careful. But in the case of a fraud, you need sedek, sedek, you need to be extra careful. You need to do your drisha and hakira. So Tov Reish Lakish is just backing up the explanation with a remez in the Torah as to two different types of court case. One where you just use sedek, and one where you need to use sedek, sedek. Extra carefulness. Let's look at the last answer. You know what? Let's not look at the word 10 o'clock. Rav Ashi's answer is a bit longer and more complicated, so Bezrat Hashem will save Rav Ashi's answers until Yom Sheni.